From the Korea Economic Institute in Washington, D.C., you're listening to Korean Context, news and analysis from the Korean Peninsula. Hello, and welcome to Korean Context. I'm Jenna Gibson. And I'm here today with a great guest who has flown all the way from Paris to be here today. Dr. Randall Jones is the head of the Japan-Korea Desk at the Organization for Economic Cooperation and Development, which is a long way of saying OECD. And he has been doing a biannual survey of South Korea's economy for, I believe you said, 16 years
Since now? 1994, and this is the 16th issue.
Okay, fantastic. So you know, obviously, a lot about Korea's economy, and I'm really excited to dive into some of the details of the newest survey that you have presented here at KEI today. The new survey just came out in June, and it details how the Korea's economy has been doing across the board, and also gives some thoughts on how to move forward. So I'm really excited to chat about that here on the podcast today. And we actually spoke on the podcast 2 years ago. So if you're interested in seeing how things have progressed, I highly encourage you to go back to two summers ago and check out that conversation. It was really great at the time, too. Dr. Jones, thanks again for joining me here on the podcast and for sharing this important report. Maybe to start off, can you give us kind of the top line? What's the good news and what's the bad news about Korea's economy?
Well, the good news is that it's growing about 3% per year, which is in line with its potential. And I guess the bad news would be that the traditional approach, the model, so to speak, of growth led by exports produced by the chaebol, the large business groups, seems to be losing some steam. And so we see a need for a paradigm shift, in a sense, a new model that gives a larger role towards small companies, SMEs, as well as a greater role to the service sector, and more emphasis on perhaps more social inclusion to reduce poverty and income inequality. So growth is headline growth is looking good, but we see a kind of a turning point perhaps where Korea needs to look how it's going to keep growing for the next 10, 20, 30 years with a maybe somewhat different approach going forward.
Right. So obviously many economic policies take quite some time to show effects or may have effects that you don't expect, you know, many years down the line. So I have a two-part question here. Over the 16 issues of this report that you've done, have there been any policies that you found to be particularly effective in this long-term view? And then the same question in the short term, since the last report, have you seen any effective policies that have encourage more growth in Korea?
I think some of the long-term policies to encourage entrepreneurship. For example, the government has 18 centers for economic innovation scattered about the country in Seoul, Daejeon, Incheon. And in those centers, companies, or startups, potential entrepreneurs can come in and present their ideas and try to find financing. So I think there is a bit of more dynamism and enthusiasm for entrepreneurship and starting new companies. So I think that's a long-term policy that will pay off. And the government's starting a new incubator system where companies can try to grow and have mentors as well as investment and try to increase their success. It's somewhat based on the Israeli approach for incubation. So these are kind of long-term goals that that should help the country become more innovative and dynamic, not just the large companies, but to make the whole economy more innovative and more productive. Short-term policies, I guess the keys would be, I think education is improving. So in the short term, less children are going on to university after high school, and they can instead do high school in Meister schools or internships, so they can go directly from secondary school into a job and not wait so long, because so many youth, they have the military service if they're men, and then they go through 4 years of university and then more training. So many people don't start working till mid-20s, and in a sense, they need to be working and building up their pension accounts as well. And so this idea that you can be trained in a vocation and then go into a job at 17 or 18 is a big step that will help the Korean economy as well.
There are a few issues that the report mentions that you touched on in your presentation earlier here at KEI as well. The first one that I picked up on is an issue that we talk about a lot in terms of the aging society. And you also specifically mentioned there are issues with the poverty rate for the elderly. I remember when you were giving a presentation, and people can look at this online too, the video is on our YouTube page. There was a graph where it was the poverty rates by age group, and there's this huge red bar for Korea's rate compared to the smaller OECD rate for those that are 65 plus. So those were just some things that stood out to me in this, you know, issues with the demographics. So can you talk a little bit about how that's affecting Korea's economy and what they might do to alleviate some of those problems?
Well, traditionally, of course, Korea didn't rely on a pension system. They relied on extended families taking care of elderly. But with the industrialization and urbanization of the economy, it becomes more difficult for the traditional family-based approach to adequately care for older people. So we're kind of in a transition stage where the traditional system is weakening, and the new system of the national pension scheme or system is still not fully mature. So many people who are elderly today do not have a national pension. So that leaves them dependent on their children or on some type of social welfare or in poverty. So I think we really need to, in the long term, develop the pension system and make sure that people contribute to it. In a sense, it's quasi-voluntary, in a sense that many non-regular workers or people, SMEs or self-employed, don't contribute, leaving them without a pension. We need to develop the company pension system, which applies to regular workers, and that should be broadened so that people have a company-based pension. And then we need more private savings, so we need basically a three-pillar approach of a government public pension, a company-based pension, and individual savings to try to help people prepare for old age. To deal with the short-term problem of this high poverty rate, we need the tax-financed social safety net pension. It's called a basic pension, Kijo Yeonggeum in Korean, and that is given to 70% of the elderly, but it's a very low amount of money. So we really need to focus on those who are most in need, the poorest of the poor, to try to alleviate the situation.
One of the other issues kind of on the other side of the demographic divide, I guess, in Korea is the very high unemployment rate, especially for youth unemployment and also underemployment for young people in Korea. Can you talk a little bit about some of those problems?
I think what we look at is more the employment rate. Unemployment rate for 15 to 34 is about 10%. So the national rate is 4% or slightly under in June. And so in most countries, youth employment, unemployment is 2-3 times higher. So Korea has a very low national unemployment rate. And then the youth unemployment rate is 2.5 times higher, but still lower than European countries, for example. So the real problem is that many youth are not in the labor force. So they're not employed, they're not unemployed. They tend to continue training or some people are called NEETs, not in education, employment, or training. So they're, in a sense, waiting, doing some private study, trying to get ready for a job. So we worry about the underutilization in general of the young people. So it's partly a mismatch between what they learn in school, which is oriented towards working in a large company as a white-collar worker, and doesn't train them to be entrepreneurs. And it doesn't necessarily prepare them for a vacation in an SME, a manufacturing type SME. So we have people who are not trained for the jobs that do exist. They're trained for jobs that don't exist, and then they don't work waiting for one of those jobs. So the labor market and the education system has to be better aligned, so to speak, to try to overcome that problem.
Yeah, and then on the minimum wage issue, this is another thing that you had talked about a little bit. What was the take in this report on what President Moon is trying to do in terms of raising the minimum wage?
Well, we prepared the report early in 2018, so we didn't have a good understanding what was going to happen to employment. And still, after 5 or 6 months, it's still early to see how this will fully affect the economy. So we're still at the early stage. There are worrisome signs that in some sectors, retail and wholesale, restaurants, hotels, that employment has fallen. And that's very low-wage, unskilled labor. And so that suggests that some of these people, and many of them are youth, are not able to work because minimum wage is too high. But other sectors as well, manufacturing employment's falling because of restructuring in certain depressed industries. Construction has really slowed down dramatically, and that affects employment. So we have a whole range of issues, and minimum wage is one of them that is having an impact. And so it has to be very closely monitored. In most OECD countries, the minimum wage is about half of the median, national median wage. And that's where Korea was in 2016. So we have to be careful not to become too high, because that's where the negative impact on employment will come about.
You've touched on SMEs a little bit so far, but I want to dig in a little bit more on the issues facing SMEs in Korea. This is something that we've heard over many years. I know President Park, this was one of her main policies, was trying to, you know, encourage innovation and small businesses. So where do we stand in terms of the ability for small businesses to thrive in Korea? And are there any policies you see that could be helpful there?
Well, in terms of financing, that's one of the problems, because a new company or SME has trouble getting bank financing because they might not have a long credit history. Banks sometimes don't think it's worth their trouble to analyze the credit risk associated with the SME in a small loan. And so there's kind of a sense of market failure where the bank, the financing system doesn't adequately provide for SMEs. And so there's some innovations like an SME with an innovative idea, a patent or some new technology, they could use that as collateral to receive a bank loan. So we're thinking about more financing. We have crowdfunding is starting in Korea. We need to have more business angels. We need to encourage venture-invested businesses. Now the government's very much involved, but a lot of the money is from public sector, and a lot of it comes to large institutions. We need more business angels that could provide investment as well as be mentors to help the new entrepreneur to be successful. So I think trying to create more possibilities for financing, and then more education for young people so that as they're going to even primary school or secondary school, they can learn about the skills and the opportunities of being an entrepreneur. And then having more investment from business angels and crowdfunding, all these things, we work together to try to make entrepreneurship and SMEs a more dynamic part of the economy. And not now they play kind of a role of a social safety net to some extent, where they provide low wage employment for people who don't have other opportunities.
So some of the issues that must be in at least the back of your mind are some issues that Korea really doesn't have any control over. We hear a lot here in DC about new tariffs, for example, but I'm wondering your thoughts on how Korea can help protect themselves from some of these things that they really don't have any control over.
Well, Korea is vulnerable in the sense that they export a lot of intermediate products to China, which are then assembled and shipped to the U.S. So even if the measures aren't directed at Korea per se, things that disrupt U.S.-Chinese trade would have a collateral impact on Korea. In 2008, of course, we had a global recession, and Korea suffered. They had a sharp depreciation in the exchange rate. Exports were very weak because of the world economy. And Korea responded with fiscal policy that was very targeted, short-term, temporary. The three T's we talked about back then, targeted, temporary, and also productive. I'm not sure what T we use for that word. But, it was focused on a short-term boost to the economy, and not a permanent program that will last for 20 years, but some short-term fiscal response. And Korea has room because they have such a strong fiscal position. They have consistent government surplus. They have low government debt. So if there were to be a situation such as we had in, say, 2007, 2008, Korea is in good shape to respond to that with the short-term measures that would sustain the economy until things stabilized. So they have, in a sense, room to maneuver, is how we put it, given their strong fiscal position.
Great. So we've talked about some specific issues that are facing the Korean economy and some of your advice for that. But I'm wondering if you have any kind of general advice or what are your thoughts on, you know, Korea in the next 2 years until you have your next report?
I think the key really, Korea has a high level of education. They have the highest rates of university graduation. PISA tests are always the top couple of 15-year-olds. The PISA test is for 15-year-olds. They have the highest level of R&D after Israel in OECD. They have lots of smart people, technology. So they have all the building blocks for innovation. The problem, in a sense, is that we don't really see as much return from these investments in innovation. We want to see more return from education, more return from R&D. And that goes back to partly so much of it is done within the large business groups, and it doesn't cover services, which are two-thirds of the economy, and it doesn't cover the SMEs, which are 78% of employment. So we need to bring the benefits, potential benefits of innovation, not just in large-scale manufacturing companies, but to spread it broadly through service sector and SMEs so that the whole economy can grow together.
Okay, fantastic. For my last question, I'll just leave it to you. Is there anything else that I haven't touched on or any specific things from the report that you want to make sure that you mention?
Well, I should stress that I am optimistic. I mean, when you write a survey of Korea, you mention the success and then you talk about all the things that need to be improved. So I don't want to give the impression that Korea is a faltering economy or that it's struggling. But as in every economy, there's a scope to improve policies so that we can have stronger growth and we can make it more equitable and reduce inequality at the same time and address the issues of environmental sustainability, gender equality, all these things that make a strong, sustainable economy. And so Korea has these areas to work on. One topic that we could talk about is gender equality because it's one of the areas where, in terms of employment, wages, Korea lags behind. And if you have aging, Korea will have the fastest aging. One of the solutions, there are many solutions, but one is bringing women more fully into the labor force. Another is helping people work longer, of course, which is Korea people tend to retire at a very young age at present. So if you have a life expectancy now that is longer than OECD average, it doesn't make sense that people leave companies at 50, 55 when they're going to live on average into their 80s. So we have many policies. So I think Korea really needs to start looking ahead how to cope with this aging by the gender issue, the older worker issue, trying to offset and making better use of foreign labor as well. It will have to be part of that package as well. So that's a very long-term issue. The next 40 years of aging, how does Korea adapt? And they need to start preparing now to cope with that.
All right. It's always really wonderful to have you here. I do want to remind everybody that the full survey from the OECD, is it on your website? They can see it?
We have one chapter that's fully on there, and then the other parts will come out as working papers. So it's all you can all find all of it there in some form or another.
Okay, great. So definitely check that out. And then we also have Dr. Jones's presentation, which will be available both on our website, keia.org, and on our YouTube channel. If you search for Korea Economic Institute, you can find it there. And I highly, highly recommend people check that out. So Dr. Jones, thank you so much for joining me here on the podcast.
My pleasure. Thank you very much.
Thanks, everyone, for joining us here on Korean Context. I hope you enjoyed our conversation. Please do leave us feedback. We love to hear from you. We can be reached on Twitter, Facebook, Instagram. Just search for Korea Economic Institute. And of course, we have a lot of great programs and, you know, other blogs, research available on our website, which is keia.org. Thank you again for tuning in, and we'll see you here next week.